All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Hopefully I sound a little bit better. I think it's still a little bit there, the cold. It's been about the third Flashback Friday? Still a little cold?
It's crazy. It's been 2 weeks of this garbage. Yeah, so I think I'd say
disease-ridden.
90% gone. I know. I guess we haven't been sick in a year or so, but I heard from other people and they're like, oh, 2 weeks.
About 2 weeks, so, you know, but we do the best we can. And we've still done both Weekend Warrior and Flashback Friday, of course, and a couple of other videos in between
hasn't
as well.
Hasn't been so, easy, let me tell you.
Hasn't been too bad, I think, you know. But yeah, we're back on our feet and things are going good. Thank you for joining us today, wherever you're tuning in from. If you're tuning in live on VK, Twitter, on DLive, or through redice.tv/live, however you're watching, thank you. And of course, shout out to all the people watching later on BitChute, or maybe you're just checking out the podcast version, or of course, redicemembers.com. Thank you to all our members, by the way. Excuse me, there it is.
There it is.
for making this possible.
Keeping it classy. You
know? Excuse me. Okay. I can. That's okay.
Colin's sick.
So here's the, excuse me, here's the lineup here for tomorrow's stream. You definitely don't want to miss this. It's going to be another great Yule live stream with Red Eyes. It's our fourth annual Yule stream as well, by the way. So, you know, it's been a tradition ever since 2016. Not too bad. We have, among others, I think most is in the list here now, but James Edward, Mark Collett, Laura Towler, Blonde and the Belly of the Beast, Charles Bowsman, Jared Taylor, Robin Riley, which is
Critical Condition. That's her real name she's come out with, yes.
Philosophic Cat, Jason Kern, or Know What Guilt, Adam Green, Ethan Ralph, Gator, Matt Flavell, Stephen McNallan, and one I didn't have time to add to the list here most recently is Orwell and Good, and I think he's going to drag along Question as well, which is his co-host.
Was it Ian? I think it was Question.
Well, I could say Kern, which is like the German.
Ah, okay. I'm sure he won't mind that.
So, you know, check that out. So that's tomorrow. We'll start the stream at probably 4:45 Eastern, maybe something like that.
Yeah, that'll be good.
10:45 Central European Time. That's, of course, 9:45 rather, UK time. So check that out. Here's the cover again, if you want to see the dates and all that stuff. But yeah, it's fun. So it was a lot of fun. People drop by for, you know, kind of a short segment. We just summarize the year a little bit, see what's going on. Looking ahead a little bit as well, see what some of the challenges has been, and also how the what's going to happen in the next 10 years, huh? How's it going to go?
It's going to be a wild ride, I think.
2010 to 2020, there has been, I mean, just insane transformation.
Yeah,
if you think about it,
that's as long as we've been together, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's been like
seen a lot happen.
Insanity, just the way that this. all the bullshit, essentially, like everything that they shoved down our throats. I mean, you will see a backlash against this,
and that's what they're trying to get rid of. Are we going
to control that and manage it and like shape it and make it into something that's like something that's sustainable, or is it just going to be like a blah, like just blah, you know what I mean?
<It's> like, what is it? It's
well, someone expressed it, when the rubber band snaps, like when it's pushed over the edge and people finally have had enough, you know. And I'm not advocating this. That's what I'm saying. Like, we should manage this to put it in a position where we can, you know, make sure that it's sustainable and something that lasts, that it's just not a reaction to it. But yeah. I fear that it's just going to be a massive reaction to it. You know, we know who's going to try to use that, but yeah.
Again, right. I do think anyway. It's interesting, and we'll get into this later, but 2020, you've talked about this perfect vision. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crystal clear what the agenda is and what their purpose is. And as we'll see, a couple stories we're going to talk about tonight, it's pretty blatant, too. All the things that they're pushing and the blatant double standards, they don't even care anymore.
No, they absolutely don't.
We want you gone. We're not even hiding it anymore.
It's basically just like, just push the pedal to the metal as long as possible. Just drive as far as you can, as fast as you can, and hopefully we just, you know, they think like this, just into the wall, over the cliff, whatever, and destroy as much as possible. See, I've always thought it's not about them wanting to build something. They use these words and these concepts and stuff, and they claim they want to build something nice and a society and a utopia and all that shit, but it's just about destroying what we have. That's the agenda. That's very easy to do. Yeah, absolutely. All righty. What else was it? Anything we should cover in the beginning here? We kind of dive into some of the topics. I guess that's it, right?
Yeah, well, let's see. We're going to do a movie night for members, a Christmas movie night.
That's right. Yeah. Sunday after, so after the live stream tomorrow, Saturday. So
keep an eye on the members.
22nd, redicemembers.com. We'll do a little bit of a movie night, something together. That could be fun. And I was watching the debate between Mark Collett and James Goddard, who I didn't know too much about. I guess he's loosely supportive of Tommy Robinson.
Sit-nap kind of guy?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Mark was doing good as usual. It was fun kind of watching that a little bit.
He always puts in some little funny comments. I like his little things. Talking about Ezra. And Ezra will be behind him getting donations. Some line like
standing
that.
Standing in, yeah, standing with a banner behind him. Yes, it's... It's the Muslims' fault. All right.
Give me money.
Pretty much. All right. Okay. So, why don't we dive into some of the topics?
Yeah, let's get into Vox, because
I feel there's something else I'm missing, but whatever. We'll get to that. I just wanted to, you know, I just wanted to do the formalities first and welcome everybody on and, you know, subscribe to our BitChute and all that good stuff, you know. Maybe if you're watching over there, how many subs do we have over there now? 27,000?
Yeah, we're approaching 30 soon here. So that's good. It's grown over there. Anticipate much more in 2020. So
yeah, exactly. That's what I think as well. A lot of good alternative alt tech popping up as YouTube is ruining itself. We'll get to that later here too, by the way. But check this out. Vox Media cuts freelance jobs in California as Vox-backed bill to set go into effect. This is the classic double standard, right?
Yeah, the California gig laws, those new rules about who can be qualified as a freelancer or independent contractor, as they say in America. Some companies, they prefer to hire freelancers because it doesn't make them an employee, so they don't have to pay payroll taxes, which are crazy.
Look at that one image.
Sick
what
days,
happened?
Insurance, et cetera, because it's very expensive. But it's the government's fault, right? So they hire independent contractors who can be their own boss. They're responsible for their own taxes and insurance. Media companies do this a lot. Now they're all crying, oh no, this is a war on media. Like, this is a war on press. It's like, hey, it's all your own people in commie California who are doing this. So, like, take it up with them. There's no war against liberal media because of this.
It's as usual. It's, you know, communism for thee or whatever it is they're pushing, and then not for, you know, nationalism for us, not for you guys. Gig workers win in California is a victory for workers everywhere, right? And then Vox had these massive issues with this union and stuff that were starting to form. They were trying to, like, these like HuffPost, all these companies are these papers that write the same garbage, right? So push the same narrative online. It's like super free, like unions and strong workers and relationships.
And then it destroys them.
And then, then when it happens to them, it's just, oh, okay.
Yeah, there are new rules.
Let's just cut all these workers because we can't afford the very shit that we're trying to push to all these other companies.
That's just it. They have new rules now to make it harder to qualify as a freelancer. And one of those, the worker performs work that isn't central to the company's business. Well, right. For Vox, media is central. So any freelancer producing media is like, okay, so they're an employee. They have to do with what Vox says, and it's something that they need, you know.
And, you know, then when they've ruined California, then they go to Oregon or they go to Idaho or they go to Maine or whatever they go, right?
Hey, you know, this is great. They wreck everything.
This is great. And let's bring in all these refugees.
Like New Hampshire? It's going to get wrecked, by the way.
Trans toilets, you know, here we go. And then it's like California again. They just don't get it, do they? Huh?
I think it's funny, though.
Yeah, it is kind of funny.
I could care less about Vox, and I think it's hilarious that they have to die by their own sword there.
So Yuri Bezmenov, which is a classic clip on YouTube. I mean, it's a
Soviet
staple
journalist
in Awakening. If you want to find the truth and find out why shit is so rotten as it is in the West, right? You check out Yuri Bezmenov and you check out his the great interview that he did.
But people who don't know, he was a Soviet journalist.
A defector.
Former KGB. Yeah, his dad was a high-ranking communist. He defected to the West. He became very anti-communist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, you know, communists don't like that. That he's out there. He's basically speaking out against communism and describing their tactics of how they destroy from within. Right.
And he's one of the first ones who kind of warned, really, of like even like not only the America, but the EU, how they are turning into like a new version of the Soviet Union. Essentially, it's a new version of communism, but essentially the same tactics. They use the same thing. He saw these patterns in the EU and stuff like that. So YouTube decided to delete this interview. And again, it was G. Edward Griffin that was doing this interview. classic classic guy. He's part of the clip that we play in the beginning of the stream.
He's great.
Many times talking about, you know, throwing all these bad words around to like smear your enemies, essentially. He's reading from the communist, plank, one of the planks, I guess, essentially.
It's like Frankfurt
School. One of the communist programs like out of the U.S., I think, or something like that. But yeah, so you can still find it, of course, on BitChute. Go check it out if you haven't already.
It is funny, though.
Subversion explained by former KGB agent Yuri Bezmenov.
And YouTube doesn't like it. What does that say when there's someone, an ex-communist, who's talking about, here's how communists are destroying from within. Here's their tactics that they use. I used to be a part of it. I read all the materials. I was indoctrinated into all of it. Here it is for you guys so you can see what's happening in the West. Yeah. And YouTube deletes it for hate speech. They literally defend communists. They don't even hide it anymore. It's just a communist operation at this point.
We'll save it. You can just go check it out if you want to see the whole thing. It's around 20 minutes. I think that there's a cut down version. And again, there might be some version still lingering around that they haven't snuffed out on YouTube, but they'll get to that. It's the point. It's the idea that it's like, it's nothing remotely hate speech-ish in the video, you know, but they don't care about that.
Doesn't matter.
You know.
By the way, Griffin, you mentioned him. You've had him on your show, G-Word Griffin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was going to pull up. We've done two interviews with him. It's in the archives. Again, since I forget when the last one was that I made. First one might have been in 2007, 8 maybe.
It's a long time ago.
Second one, I think it's 2010 I made the second. And so far, the latest one I did, Far Too Long. He's like in his 80s now. But he's a legend, that guy. But check that out at redicemembers.com. That's, I think, it's not yet up on BitChute because it wasn't synced there. So we're backtracking in the archive and uploading all the shows and stuff like that. So it'll be there. It'll be there. Check it out. Okay, so speaking about YouTube, The Verge had an interesting story a couple of months ago now. We covered it in detail on one of our Weekend Warrior shows that we do exclusive for members. And we were talking about Facebook and the moderation that's happening on Facebook. That some of these people that are going through the material that, they outsource this to third-party companies that essentially wade through everything that has been flagged down and marked and stuff like that. And it was not only that it's material that's, like, actually is difficult to watch, or it's murders, or it's people, you know, severe violence and, you know, things like that. Most, as we know, that's marked is what they call borderline content, which is stuff that they can't really decide right away. Is it hate speech? Is it not? What is it, right? So on Facebook, a lot of these moderators that were doing this job actually started to awaken to the agenda. PTSD.
This makes sense.
Some people were literally convinced. Some people were like going down the conspiracy rabbit hole.
They're losing,
like,
people.
They're seeing these memes, and it's just like after hours and hours and hours of this, like, yeah.
It
broke the conditioning, right? So now The Verge is out with a new article where they specifically target YouTube and Google as well. These moderators keep Google and YouTube free of violent extremism. Now, we know that they classify a lot of material which isn't actually violent extremism, but they call it that so that they can delete it. It's the way they delete Yuri Bezmenov. There's no violence in there. There's no hate speech. But it's a tactic that they use, right? But the article goes on to say, and now some of them have PTSD, right? Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Sure. I mean, it just feels fake right away. I mean, come on.
No, I don't think it is.
Wow, they're weaklings. If it's just like political stuff that they're listening to and looking at, I mean.
As I said, some of it is going to be things that are difficult, but obviously those people shouldn't have those jobs. They shouldn't have that position. You should have someone who has a thick skin and a tough stomach.
Seeing that kind of stuff.
Is. Exactly.
Like police or something.
And you came out recently in that YouTube interview that Susan did with 60 Minutes that, some people are, they're getting sick and they're getting PTSD. Well, they only work for 4 hours and we have this special counseling unit for them, essentially, so they don't, kind of wake up or whatever. But again, a lot of the stuff that they wade through is just like, it's normal stuff, but it's political dissenting opinions as well, which is weaving.
But wait a minute. I mean, traumatizing for me, I wonder if they get traumatized by this. What about stories of men cutting off their penises? I mean, that's traumatizing. But of course, they wouldn't put that in the category, YouTube, would they?
Well,
or Verge.
That's very interesting.
It's
because
a celebration.
It's a good point you raised that. But think of what happened with someone like Medica, right? Who did that video about how the sausage is made. I I didn't watch it. I really actually don't have the stomach for watching like surgeries and shit like that. So I just like, you know, whatever. But the idea is they promote it and said, this is a good thing. You actually, and if you don't celebrate this, we'll ban you. We'll censor you. We'll shut you down kind of thing. Right. But then if you actually show what happens, what does it entail exactly when a person transitions, right? How's the sausage made or how's it unmade, I guess you could call it as well.
Oh my God.
That's not okay.
That's
See?
Trump.
You know what I'm saying? He was thrown off of Patreon for doing a video on BitChute that showed all of this.
It's how he talks about it. It's the approach that he comes from. Is he celebrating it or is he freaked out by it and saying like, whoa there, right?
Yeah. Yep. Even if you approach it from like scientific, like just clinical, it's if you don't explicitly are for it, then you're a bigot. Google and YouTube approach content moderation the same way all of the other tech giants do, paying a handful of other companies to do most of the work. One of those companies, Accenture, operates Google's largest content moderation site in the United States, an office in Austin, Texas. Oh, that's what's going on down there. Where content moderators work around the clock cleaning up YouTube. Like it's such a
dirty, filthy place.
Do I have to watch this Yuri Bezmenov clip? I can't believe it.
I think their stuff is dirty and filthy.
So it's the same structure. They go through all this long form of like all these different people working there, whatever. Now, there is one video and it's too long, but at least I wanted to begin watching a couple of minutes in the beginning of it and see how they approach this. I haven't seen all of this yet. It's just graphic, disturbing content related to terrorism. Now again, there's some material, that like needs to be moderated, whatever. A lot of other stuff we know that it's all about like white people who don't want to replace themselves.
Yeah, part of the job description was you will be part of a team that protects free speech online.
Which makes it
how Orwellian of
you. Yeah, right.
It seemed very heroic. Felt like you were putting on a cape, working at Google.
Over the past year, I've been reporting on the lives of Facebook's content moderators in America, and they've told me about their low pay, their dire working conditions, and in some cases, the long-term mental health consequences of doing the work that they do. A content moderator is kind of like a police officer for the internet. If you ever see something that you think doesn't belong on a site and you report it, that report is going to be reviewed by a human being. While a lot of what they see is really benign, like... Spam, for example, some of it's really disturbing. I'm talking about murder, terrorism, and child exploitation. Recently, I started seeking out people who did this kind of work for Google and YouTube. I wanted to see how their experiences compared to the ones I'd heard about already. And what I did learn surprised me.
The terror queue.
Part of, you know, doing our job and how they would make us kind of feel better about it was that, you know, you guys see this so other people don't have to see this, right?
Well, other people have already seen it. If you got the report from it, that means other people have already seen it, right? And again, most of the stuff they filter out with AI now. That's why they're flagging down so many different things,
exactly.
Right? I mean, imagine, think about all the systems that they've employed after something like New Zealand or whatever, where still these videos were floating around for... You know, for days in some cases, and they couldn't snuff everything out all the time, you know. But YouTube is not held to the same standard as, for example, Gab was or 8chan or something.
Yeah.
Right? And why is that? Why is Google not held to the same? Look, we got to shut down the site. People are posting extremism here to Facebook or to YouTube, right?
And of course, these 10,000 people, you know that they investigate into who they are and their own political viewpoints before they hire them, I'm sure.
Yeah. And then, you know, this is part of that team that was employed. I mean, the most pressure YouTube and Google has gotten on the front of like moderation has been for content which is politically not extreme, they call it that, but it's like it's opposing political dissenting opinions and views. And they specifically hired a while ago, and this is probably part of this team right here, they said like, we've hired 10,000 new content reviewer just to shut, you know, close off stuff that we don't like on the site, right? And that's part of these people. And so now also weaved into this is the spin that it's like, well, this is for terrorism and murders and child exploitation online and stuff. But there's so much stuff that openly just flies under the radar of these people, mm-hmm. right? They're more concerned with political dissenting views than they are with actual extremism. This is another minute or so here. So see where this goes. Okay, there's some text here. I'm going to read all this. Okay.
Over the course of doing this job, over a long enough time period, can cause significant mental health consequences. But it also became clear to me that there is a big difference in how Google employees get treated and how those third-party contractors get treated. Today, a former full-time Google employee named Daisy Soderberg-Rivkin is going on the record to talk about her experiences as a content moderator. She had access to all the perks and all the benefits that come with being a full-time Google employee. But at the end of the day, that didn't save her from the consequences of doing the job.
I was a legal route removals associate, which is a very fancy way of saying I was a content moderator at Google.
Let's talk about what the job actually was. You show up, you have your orientation, you sit down at your computer, it's time to do your job. What is your job?
So you usually start your work by going through a queue. So you're assigned to a queue based on either an issue area or a geographic area. So I focused on the French market because my first languages were French and English, and I also worked on our child sexual abuse imagery cases and our terrorism cases.
And you were working primarily on web search, right?
Yes. We, as in-house content moderators, we would usually handle more high-level complex issues. So certain things that were very high volume, such as defamation and copyright, were typically sent over to contractors. They would then escalate to us if it was kind of a gray area, and if it was even a gray area for us, we would then escalate to our counsel. So it was kind of levels of how specialized we were.
At what point did you start to feel like you were seeing more disturbing stuff than you expected?
They go through that.
I'm reminded of that article too, and I'm looking for it. And of course, I can't find it on Google, right? Because it was scrubbed. They would scrub their own material that points a negative light at them. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I'm searching both on Swiss Cows and DuckDuckGo, which I don't like as an option. Swiss Cows I like, but not DuckDuckGo. Mm-hmm. I remember that it was not too long ago. I'm trying to find the headline. I can't find it now. Where Google is, it's always this, right? They, same thing with The Verge. They talk about these rights for these workers. And just like we saw with Vox, right? It's like they champion all this stuff. And then when it comes down to these companies fail themselves. So Google can say how politicians should be, what other companies should and shouldn't do. Then the headline I was looking for is a company that Google hired, who is a notorious anti-union company that is specializing in mobilizing against the employers that are trying to formulate some kind of union to organize and to strike against the company, essentially, right? So it's just like, it's all this double standard garbage, you know?
You're saying they're cheap?
Well, that too. Cheap? Hypocritical and cheap. I'm not going to watch the rest of this, but
yes,
you get the idea. Sometimes it's kind of funny because, you know, some of these articles literally shows like people were looking at memes and they got all nervous and crazy about this. And again, you know, it's always convenient because they tie in like, well, child sex abuse and they tie in terrorism and all this kind of stuff.
Like, yes, of course, that's awful. But that's not the majority of the stuff
they're
saying.
It's not. And
I'd say like, 80% is probably just political dissent.
That's just it. And so into that, they weave this web of like, well, it's just extremism. And then if you begin to analyze and look deeper into what that actually means, right? Mm-hmm. It's actually a lot of content. But yeah, check it out if you want to check the whole thing. It's just The Verge. Yeah. Anyway, so here's a follow-up on this too, just to, you know, from Reclaim the Net, detailing some of this. Facebook bans journalist Ford Fisher from posting links, as he attempt to share YouTube censorship article. Facebook has been increasingly sanctioning its user for sharing links this year. Of course, we were booted off of Facebook here just about a month ago, so where they now begin to block independent journalists for simply sharing information about what YouTube or even other companies do. Instagram has now also positioned itself as a fact checker, right? This is going into 2020 right here. If you have some kind of opposing view, which is not officially established or recognized, approved by the establishment, I guess, it might be banned and thrown off from both Facebook and Instagram. That's the future we're looking at with these massive platforms and companies. And this is the downside of letting all of these companies handle like 90% of the internet traffic, right? Facebook, YouTube, Google, Instagram. It's like that's the big sites, right? And so we got to get off of these platforms. There's nothing else to do about that.
Well, we are. We're only on one more. So we're only on one
Twitter.
Last one.
Yeah, we'll see how long we last there. Exactly. Oh my God. It's, well, you know, as someone said, right? It's better to rip off the bandage now because it's
get it over
sooner
with.
Or later. It's going to be impossible.
It's coming already. Yeah. So, you know,
yep.
It's the move on, Stasi start over.
Stasi methods, right? All right. So let's check this one out. It's kind of funny. Now this is, I'm going to play two clips from, it was Syntrax who shared this with me on Twitter. So thank you. Shout out to Syntrax, by the way. He does great work. He has a YouTube channel. He's on Twitter as well. It's from a lecture called Critical Connections, White Supremacy and Social Media. It's by Amherst Media. So what we're going to listen to here is a conversation with Dr. Whitney Phillips from Syracuse University.
Women like her wreck nations.
Discussing how white supremacist groups have used social media platforms to incite, listen to this, is very important here, to incite violence against communities of color and the challenges inherent in curbing online hate speech. I'm going to let them speak for themselves. But again, just know, as usual, reasonable, rational, legitimate criticisms and concerns and speech, they label as white supremacy, mm-hmm. right?
Of course.
And they mix and blend these things and say it's all just under the same banner, ban it all. But think of just like opposing political views and that's what they're throwing in into this term. Listen to this here. Pretty remarkable stuff.
But social media platforms have really created a place that reward certain kinds of violent ideation and have provided a safe haven for those who partake of violent ideologies, because social media platforms have chosen again and again and again to side with and protect abusers and bigots, as opposed to making those spaces safe for the
She's
people
a doctor.
Whom they target.
She must know.
The large ones, they all suffer from the same issue, which is that they were created primarily by white men Ooh. With a libertarian ethos, in that they wanted to minimize the amount of restriction that existed on the sites,
freedom,
maximize spread of information, and this sort of butts up against kind of liberal ideas about the marketplace of ideas, that if you have the best corrective to bad speech is more speech.
Yes.
So you create a space where you're not moderating, or you're moderating in a very minimal kind of way, and ultimately the best ideas will float to the top.
Correct.
That's freedom. That's yes. freedom in a nutshell.
Freedom of speech.
And so you have these spaces designed to really, I mean, they set out, we are not going to infringe on people's free speech, even
they
if
do
they're
all
not
the time.
Really talking about a constitutional issue, because of course the First Amendment is not, that's not the purview of Facebook. They're a private company.
A private company. Yeah. She loves it now.
That's a real argument. Just stick that in there. They'll sell it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can't find out anything about if they have special protection from government or if they get money.
They bake that cake.
From taxpayers.
Yeah.
They all were baked. The cakes were baked out of the same basic batter. You encounter the basic kinds of issues now, years and years after they were established. The cake is already on the table. The higher ups at Twitter, for example, they've gone on the record. They say, if there had been more women, if there had been more people of color working at these companies in the very beginning, the platforms likely would have been designed differently, and more restrictions would have been built into the structure of the site. They would have foregrounded concerns about
Nightmare.
Harassment. They would have thought about what might have happened as a result of coordinated disinformation campaigns. But because the people designing those sites were occupying subject positions that were least likely to be harmed by those things, they didn't need to build in those safety restrictions. That was just not
Look at this woman
thinking
on
about.
The side, this yeah. large woman.
Yeah, uh-huh. I mean, yeah. that is...
More women is the answer. More censorship and more
That
women.
Is an amazing admission, right? I mean, we have to admit that. I'm going to
More
play
women
the next
and
one,
people of color
well, and, think
and
about
more
that
censorship.
Too, as she's... openly admitting like that if we have our people that we want, like POCs and women or whatever, all these groups, all these victim groups and grievances identities, if we have them in on these companies, you won't have freedom of speech. That's what she's admitting to. There will be restrictions immediately. And in fact, it should be. And we must have these, you know, restrictions now. In fact, these,
it's for your safety,
these libertarian white men shows up and they're trying to
freedom and all this
think
stuff.
More ideas is like they think that this is better somehow. We can discuss these issues, right? That's why like all these libertarians out there and everyone who's like, well, you know,
get with the program,
government, stay out of my business. As demographics change and as all these feminists take, literally get more influence, more power, you will like not have your
liberty
anymore.
You're not going to have
your freedoms. It's just going to go out the
window. Libertarianism is a white person idea, white male ideal.
Yeah. and it begins on the internet, but it's not going to end there, right? Eventually, these people will come and they will break in your door and steal
your
shit.
Oh, and it'll be women like her
down.
Leading it. They'll be crying fascist while they're hauling you off to jail for wrongthink. Those fascists, put them in jail, put them
in
death camps now.
I mean,
you know?
I know it's cringy to like, you know, throw that fascist label back at them because they're communists, right? Just straight up, they're left-wing authoritarians. But it is interesting that she's mentioning this, that it's like, well, white males, that's hierarchy, that's fascism.
Like
that's
Jack
like,
at Twitter is a fascist,
that's what there comes from. But in order to shut those down, we got to kick out those white males out of those institutions so that we can start restricting speech and what things to say. And it's always this idea that, well, they're violent. Well, wait a minute, what do you mean? Oh, well, okay, they're not directly violent, but it will lead to violence, see? And it's like, well, can you prove that? Well, this is the shooting that happened and this person read these things online and therefore it leads. So that's the proof, right? So it's all this justification. That we, in order to keep all these groups that she's mentioning here in the beginning, to keep them secure and safe, we literally need to go after these people and restrict them first in their ability to speak and communicate. But it's not gonna end there. So here's a second clip.
And it's fine too. Women like these, in my experience, are usually the most volatile and violent people underneath. While they're talking about safety and violence, and we have to stop this and stop that, and when you really get to know some of these women, you're like, oh my god, if they were in charge, they would be dropping bombs and starting wars worse than any men. Especially if they were all in the rag at the same time, all in leadership. Could you imagine that?
Well, I mean, imagine these offices, right? Because if you have proximity between women.
Yeah,
they all sync up, right? Yep. So it'll be a couple of days there in the office where it's like really, really good vibes, really good times. All right, here's the second clip here. Check this out.
And if you can't answer the single question, who will this sharing benefit? If you don't actually know what the answer to that question is, then you should think very differently about what it is you're doing. Because if there's a chance that what you share, if that's going to benefit white supremacists, then maybe you don't want to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Who's going to decide what white supremacy?
Yeah.
Well, she is, of course. She's going to be the arbiter of truth. She's going to hold on to these definitions and say, if you think that this... See, truth is arbitrary in the sense that if it's not benefiting this image of what we want to advance, then we can just shut it down, right? And we can just kill it. It doesn't matter if it's actually the truth, if it's rational arguments, or if it's just scientifically accurate. If it doesn't uphold and advance this POC, pro-female, feminist, trans path that we're on, then it needs to be destroyed, essentially, right?
So. Yeah, and exactly. And like you said, it's not going to just be on the internet. Then it's going to be in your private life, as we've seen some other stories coming up. You know?
Of course, yeah. Well, that's why they're kicking people off of, bank services, financial services, and you can't go to this restaurant now. And, I mean, that's what we've talked about. I mean, they have to bake the cake, right? But we can't buy the cake, right? All right. Where were we on this here?
Yeah, did you read any of this?
Yeah, a little bit. Trump administration rejects Senate resolution recognizing Armenian genocide, which is like pretty interesting.
It's amazing, but it's interesting because Turkey is like, well, it's disputed, right? This is getting into genocide denial, and they just go along with it, which is interesting. It's like, no, we can't. We can't say genocide of this one, you know. They're basically siding with the ones or ignoring the ones who killed a bunch of Christians, which is amazing to me that these conservatives or that Trump would go along with this. Who put them up to this?
Yeah.
It's like there can only be one genocide. It's not against Armenians, Ukrainians, not white people.
Well, I mean,
we know how this goes.
No one is calling it a Holocaust, right? They still have the trademark on that term, I think. But it's interesting when Abe Foxman goes to Ukraine. Remember the clip? He goes, sits at a meeting with the then current, it was like the chocolate puppet that put in place in Ukraine at that point. I think it was like 2013? Maybe it was earlier. I forget. It's all kind of a blur. But Abe Foxman goes through and says, actively, like when you talk about the Holodomor, don't use the term Holocaust, and that's ours. You know, don't touch on that, right? Of course, it's
the State Department on Tuesday rebuked the Senate's latest move to recognize the mass killing and deportation of Armenians by the Ottoman Empire during the first half of the 20th century as genocide, releasing a statement that the admin continues to view the events as one of the worst mass atrocities.
Yeah, well, Shank Yogurt will be happy, and Kasparian.
Yeah, exactly. What about the Young Turds, right? He denies this, too. He denies that it was a genocide, right?
Yeah, no, of course. They're right in line with
it. It's right in their name. They were the ones behind it.
And again, who were the Young Turks? What was that group behind that group?
Exactly.
You know, there are some questions there. So maybe, of course, that would be counterintuitive to Trump's Israel First policy, because maybe if people investigate further, that shifts the blame onto the right groups, right?
Yep.
I'm not surprised. This is what
without
they did,
objection.
Right? All right, I'm gonna pause that. All right.
And then, you know, we've been saying, going on to the next story, we mm-hmm. don't have elections, right? We have census. Demographics are destiny. We know this now, right? It's staring us right in the face. And the only people not getting on board with this is mainly white conservatives who think that they can just sway millions of third world immigrants to work hard and become conservatives, right? But why would they when they can vote for a party who gives them so-called, gives these so-called minorities everything for free? Well, wake up, Trump, the guy who said he wants the highest levels of immigration ever, just legally, may be the last Republican president. Because right here, the Center for Immigration Studies said that because of immigration, it is likely to result in the redistribution of 24 House seats in states President Trump won. 26 seats overall will shift due to immigration increase, and it is said the majority of those seats, 19 or so, will go left, of course. And states that have been known to be Republican are flipping, just as we've been saying, because of mass immigration and because of illegals. So don't say that we didn't warn you, right? Immigration and making white Americans a minority is the strategy of the left. And then once that happens, it's all downhill from there. It's not going to be a liberal utopia. It's all going to go into the toilet. I think until a certain portion of the demographics, they're going to get fed up and they're going to break off and form something new. But basically, America as we know it, as we knew it, is over. It's just getting worse with these numbers. It's not elections. It is census. And you know, Trump is an idiot to not get any of this stuff. And a lot of these white conservatives.
It could be very conscious. Trump might have just been the steam valve for a little bit to create that complacency within the opposition that was starting to form in America. And so people are like, oh, great, he's in. I mean, many are beginning to turn out, but there's also, I mean, the MAGA crowd is huge. And it's all fine. It's great. I mean, it's like these TPUSA kids said there. Remember in the interview? It's like, well, Democrat, we're going to be a minority anyway. Let's move on to something that matters now. Let's just advance these conservative ideas to this new demographic that historically has never drawn itself to conservative ideas. Maybe in their own country, but not when they go to a country where there's free gibs from leftists that are, you know, promising them the world.
They're literally like free shit right now. I mean, that's literally the elections, what they're offering people. Come,
and that's why, you know, every Democrat on that stage raised their arm when they said, well, will you give health care to illegals? They all raised their arm.
Yeah.
I mean, this is extreme policies.
Yeah, while your average white middle class family pays these insane health premiums in America.
Of course, someone has to pay. That's the thing. It's nothing is free. They want to give everyone else free. It's literally like everyone else who it's this what's the term again? Like oikophobia. You know, anyone else who's the stranger is the priority over our own. No matter what you do, you can never prioritize your own people, your own citizens, because that will be that's bad. Right? That's a white supremacy. So we can't do that. So yeah, that's changing. And again, look at what is happening in Virginia right now.
I do think Trump's probably going to get in again 2020, but it'll be the last Republican president.
Yeah, probably. You know, again, I mean, the Republicans are also, keep in mind, what, 5-6 years after the Democrat liberal agenda, essentially. I mean, and all the things that they used to stand firm on, they've caved on, including gay marriage and, you know, like all the LGBT stuff. And, you know, they're there now already, right? They're there. And that was what broke through in what noughts or 2010 and onwards. That broke through. So the question is, where will it be tomorrow? Will it be on Zenk's page with the it's okay to pleasure the animal?
Yeah,
it's like, hey, this is a very important GOP talking point here. It is. Let me be firmly clear with this. It's okay if you pleasure the animal
as long as they feel good.
You know, it's like whoever lines up to be president at that point.
Now, what about all this impeachment stuff? Have you don't want to mention anything about that? I don't even follow it because I think it's just a bunch of bogus distraction.
It is a circus. There's no doubt about that. It's a distraction to a certain extent. I don't think it passed in the House. So it's like, whoa, whoop-de-doo. He's the third president in history to be impeached by the House, right? But the fact is, Republicans still control the Congress, right? So it's never going to pass there. Or is it the Senate? Which one is it, Congress or Senate? It's the House and the Congress and Senate. But you know what I'm talking about. It's like they need the next level to be passed by Republicans, and they're still they're the majority. The Democrats have the House, of course. I don't think you'll see many Republicans budge and go in the direction of saying yes
it's not good for them too. So
yeah, so that's not going to happen. And in fact, it's actually going to bring more support to Trump. And if the Democrats don't, you know, wheel out any, you know, plausible candidate, Trump will essentially win from the steam of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just coaster on, floating.
I think that's why they are trying to get him out, because on some level they know he's going to win 2020.
Yeah.
You know, and they're trying to pack him in, bring him in the country fast enough to vote, right?
Yeah.
Was it in New York or somewhere recently they said, oh, you don't need to be illegal to get a driver's license now. So they're already giving all these illegals licenses. And it's like, leading up into before the election, they always do this, right? So all these people can vote.
Yeah, but there's one interesting thing with the whole impeachment thing, and I'm not going to go through it now because it's a long story, but Ukraine, there is something with Ukraine. I was looking at a couple of documentaries regarding the coup, everything that happened at the Maidan, there is a faction of the Democrats. I mean, it's all on the back end. Yes, it's all like CIA, it's deep state establishment and all that kind of stuff that did these things, but there's a portion of the Democratic, like, elite that was part of that and doing those things. And I'm not saying that Trump is not in on anything like that, but it seems to be an internal little schism and an internal globalist division of, like, you know, when the table shifted and turned from looking at Trump, what he had done in Ukraine, to showing, to trying to say, well, it was Biden that was doing stuff in Ukraine, right? His son was there, it was all these back-end deals and stuff like that. And that, you know, as I looked at that documentary of, like, who was really behind the coup there? Why did they do it? How were they seeking to use that, you know, use Ukraine? There was, remember, all that money being funneled there. Trump had held back the aid to Ukraine for a little bit, and that was a complete outrage about that. There was two guys, I read about just the other day, New York Times, two guys now that have been in at a hearing that were, they're being questioned, I guess. I forget their names. It was two Jewish Ukrainians that had aided Trump essentially to grab information from about Joe Biden and stuff like that. So I think that even if you have, like, the Trump faction of the globalists and then you have the Democrat faction of the globalists, it's a little bit of an internal schism. But it seems that they found out a little bit too much about what's happening in Ukraine, and they're trying to frenetically cover that up essentially. Right? And it was a pretty good documentary that Pete Santilli did. He's on DLive. I think it was kicked off of YouTube. I started watching it. Yeah. Started watching it, and it was actually really good. And it explained some stuff, which, I mean, I used to be keeping up with that much more than I do. But it was a really good piece he had. It was up as a video on DLive, actually, on his channel, Pete Santilli. And he was talking about essentially, like, who was behind the coup in Ukraine, and the fact that it's, like, actually has ties to the current impeachment debacle, because there's so much information that has come out about what happened, and some people have lifted the wrong rugs, you know, they try to cover all of these things up, and all of a sudden now some of the cats are out of the bags, if you will, and they're trying frenetically to cover it up. So I think that maybe this impeachment racket is some kind of threat, like, we'll try to depose you, let this go, don't talk about this Ukraine thing anymore. It's very, very, very interesting, but it's a long story, so I'm not going to go into it right now. All right.
Well, you know, you get censored for pointing out how migrants into the West do commit crimes, abuse women, and rape statistically on average more than the natives. Two stories for you right here. Six illegal men from Guatemala were accused of raping and sex trafficking an underage girl who said she escaped from their sex trafficking operation. These keep coming out. This one was happening in Wisconsin. Nothing used to happen like this in Wisconsin. So these pigs are being held on bail in jail, right? At the taxpayers' expense. They're not being shipped back to Guatemala, which just really triggers me, really, really angers me. Open borders are good for you. Don't question anyone coming in because they're all saints and we all must be humanitarian. I mean, who's really that stupid? And then also...
A lot of people.
Unfortunately, it's always faces like these we're seeing lately behind these major sex trafficking operations that are coming out.
Yeah.
And in the UK, being mainly affected by Muslim immigration, a Muslim right here, cop named Amjad Hussein, and 15 of his buddies, all with similar sounding names, were charged with sexually assaulting several girls in Halifax. The allegations include several counts of rape, sexual assault, supplying drugs, and trafficking. Now, Mr. He was working for the West Yorkshire Police's Protective Services Operations, right?
I'm just joking.
I know. Well, he was serving as an officer, guys, at the time of this offense, and he's been you know, accused of some serious things here. Yep. But of course, a man like this who would do these ugly, dirty kind of things would go and become a cop, you know, during these Protective Services operations.
And keep in mind, too, that the police in many of these areas, and they're... they actively go out to find someone who is not an English man, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's like, well, it can be good for the community. And, you know, and then they get in and it's corruption. And furthermore, they don't care about white English girls. And in fact, they have a grudge against them. In fact, they will use their power and abuse that specifically to target. To target some of these.
So these 16 men here aren't being deported either. I'm sure several of them are probably second generation at this point, but it just keeps getting worse. We always hear, oh, well, the first generation can be a little bumpy,
rough,
you know, second
better.
Generation, third generation. No, actually, those are the terrorists and the people committing the most amount of crime, you know. People need to just get over being called a racist in the UK because this kind of stuff just keeps happening. It keeps coming out. And these are the ones that we know about. I mean, there's so many that are hidden under the rug, right?
It's crazy.
YouTube deleted any videos that we put out there about this kind of stuff long ago.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, no, don't talk about this. If we just stop talking about it and bring attention to it, it will go away, right? That's the idea. Let's just let this go unchecked. Underneath the radar, and you know, it'll be okay. Eventually, there won't be any English girls there anyway. So you know, then it'll be okay.
And my favorite, well, white guys rape too.
Yeah, and therefore it's like, oh, therefore we should just open the borders, let anyone in, and don't have any kind of
judgment.
We should not have any kind of a discriminatory attitude towards like, wait a minute, what's happening here? And if they have committed these crimes, and I mean, in many cases, you can also find very clear-cut evidence that some of these people that come in, they literally hate the people of the country that they have been let into.
Yeah.
They hate the country. They hate the people of that country. That you can openly, you know, find, like, you know, they post shit on the internet and their comments, and they say things to people's faces and stuff like, oh, we're here to take over. It's
they
not your country anymore.
It, I hate just, you. They're just like, frustrated. We just have to welcome them more.
We have to give them more things and back off more. You know, then they will be okay, right? Then it's going to be okay. So these other 16 buddies were not police officers, I assume.
No,
so he used his position as a police officer
to get in and cover possibly for his buddies, you know?
Great. So how many times did this happen in the UK? Now, this has happened in many other countries, too. It's just that in the UK, they just couldn't cover it up anymore.
Yeah, it's just so bad.
Look at these names. It's all traditional, good old Anglo-Saxon names.
Not.
All right. Let's do a couple of super chats here, actually. We've gotten a few here, guys. Yeah, go ahead. What were you going to say before?
The next story that's just crazy about the Iowa man.
Yeah, we'll get you. All right, Brad Grandpa over at Donor Box, $50. Well, thank you, Brad. We very much appreciate it. Thank you for all your support and help. Freedom Jekylls, glad Yins seem to be doing better. Looking forward to the Christmas stream. Thanks for doing what you do. Oh, and also, can we just kick out California, maybe?
Yeah.
Well, sooner or later,
waiting for them to break off.
They will sink into the ocean.
Well, hopefully the big one's going to come. You know, I've been waiting for that for like 20 years.
Wasn't there talk about them actually building a border around California for a while?
Yeah, they were talking about splitting off, you know? Calexit or whatever.
But I mean, eventually...
No, they need the money from everyone else because it's all dried up over there. They don't have anything.
It is going to happen. I mean, sooner or later, it might take 50 years. It might take 200 years. I don't think it would take 200 years, but I mean... America will break up. There's going to be ethnic enclaves that form into large enough groups that they just like, we don't want any deal, anything to do with this shit anymore. We want to succeed. We want to do our own thing. And at that point, all hell will break loose.
Yeah, it's going to be a weird kind of civil war like the planet's never seen before, I think, in America in the future.
Yeah, and that might be replicated in Europe and most of the West, frankly.
Yeah.
Because the same pattern is happening everywhere. Anyway, Brad, thank you so much, Brad. I really appreciate it. Merry Christmas. Good Yule to you and yours as well. Thank you, Brad, for all your support. Now, we got a number of donations over on DLive as well. Just quickly go through those. Mr. Wright sent a diamond, says Good Yule. Well, Good Yule to you. Thank you so much. And he sent a Ninja Genie as well. Bättre Jul. This is Better Yule.
Nice.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Wright. And another diamond, and another Ninja Genie. Well, thank you, Mr. Wright. Generous over there. Thank you, man. And another diamond and another Ninja Genie. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. That's very generous of you. Red Ice fan sends a diamond as well. I don't think there was any messages on the other ones there. No. Enough for Red Ice fan as well. Last Payload Con, another Ninja Genie there from you. Thank you. And he says, Red Ice are great leaders and role models on how to grow a happy and proud white family. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. And I think that covers it over there. I got a one of the Cash App as well earlier. I guess I can just pull this up for now. In case you guys want to contribute or send a little message or something, let me just open that up real quick. It was from Conrad K. He's just saying over on the Cash App, still doing my part to spread the word. Well, thank you, sir. $10. I appreciate that. Very, very kind of you. All right. Let's move on to the next story here, Lana.
It's interesting because this guy's name is Adolfo Martinez, a Latino name.
Let me pull that up here. Adolfo.
Iowa man who burned LGBTQ flag.
Adolf has burned an LGBTQ flag.
Adolfo Martinez.
Adolfo Martinez.
I feel sorry for this guy. Adolfo isn't wrong, you know? Latino name, interesting.
Adolf did nothing wrong. How about that?
Yeah, so... what was it? Did you read the name of the church there? It was the... Let me pull it up. Some Unity Church, you know, they have these Unity churches that are.
Oh, sorry, this is me. Let me take that.
Yeah.
Let me just read a little bit of that. Iowa man was found guilty of lighting a local church LGBTQ flag on fire, was sentenced to more than 16 years in prison Wednesday. Now think about this here.
16 years.
Have you seen people burning like an American flag and Antifa doing maybe a misdemeanor, maybe like a
little slap on the wrist.
Slap on the wrist, maybe a fine or something.
This guy got felony hate crime, third degree harassment, and he was given more time, not because it was a church, but because he didn't like their sexual LGBTQ orientation.
So obviously,
didn't like that it was a church that claims to follow Jesus
exactly,
and had this there. Right. So he was, there's a picture of him I have in the
other. We'll pull
link
that up shortly. Let me just read the other line here. Adolfo Martinez, 30, was found guilty last month of hate crime, as you said, third degree harassment and reckless use of fire, after admitting to police in June that he stole a. So he didn't like set it on fire on the church and he was like, that could have burned down and risking people's life. No, he took it off and then burnt it, right?
Yeah.
So it was like safe or whatever you want to call it. Victimless crime. So the banner was hanging outside of the Ames United Church of Christ and set it on fire using lighter fluid about two blocks away outside the Dangerous Curves Gentlemen's Club, the Des Moines Register reported. Story County Attorney Jessica Reynolds said in June that the hate crime charge was added because Mr. Martinez targeted the church property because of, quote, what it represents as far as sexual orientation.
Yeah, so he didn't like it. He didn't agree with it. But let me ask you this. Let's say that this church, this United Church of Christ, had a National Socialist flag out front and someone came and took it and burned it. What would happen?
The church would have been put to in jail for 16 years for having a National Socialist flag on,
exactly,
on the facade.
And whoever burnt it would be a freaking hero. But yes, we've seen communists march around on the streets of Washington, D.C. and other American cities and burning American flags, putting it up on YouTube.
Open carry with the hammer and the sickle, right? Which is like, I mean, it's a symbol that is behind the most murders in human history. Like in an industrial scale, they've murdered over 100 million people in the last 100 years, right?
Adolfo gets triggered, you know? He's obviously a Christian. He's like sick and tired of who knows what he's seen and what he's experienced. He goes and does a 16 years. He got maximum penalty for not liking, for his thoughts, like not liking. Ultimately, no one got hurt. He burned a flag. Like,
we need to nip this in the bud now, right? That's what this means.
It's
pretty incredible.
It's amazing. I can't even believe it. Yeah. I feel bad for the guy, Adolfo.
Yeah. Adolfo. Yeah. All right. Sorry, man. Iowa as well, right?
Yeah, and Iowa's like white country folk.
Yeah, isn't
like,
that like a kind of a heartland Christian territory kind of thing, right?
They're all really gay, Henrik.
That they're really gay. And so they got so angry when he burned it that they had to put him in jail for 16 years. Big surprise, huh?
Now back to UK. Let me read this woman a little story here. There was a woman in the UK who tweeted, let me read a couple of them here. Maya Forstater. I think we have the tweets there, actually, the links.
You want me to pull them up first?
Yeah, so we can just backtrack.
Okay.
Yes, I think that male people are not women. I don't think being a woman, female, is a matter of identity or womanly feelings. It's biology. People of either sex should not be constrained or discriminated against if they don't conform to traditional gender expectations. All right, that's the next one. I know, really, really edgy stuff
really
here, edgy, right?
Really controversial stuff.
What I'm so surprised at is that smart people who I admire, who are absolutely pro-science in other areas and champion human rights and women's rights, are tying themselves in knots to avoid saying the truth that men cannot change into women because that might hurt men's feelings. Very tame, very mellow, right? I mean, very mellow.
Yeah.
Well, she got fired for these tweets and she sued her employer, who was the Center for Global Development. Now, I looked them up and they were working to end poverty and improve the lives of mainly third world. She was a tax expert. Basically, she's like a feminist liberal, right? Well, Judge Taylor, a man in the UK, when she was in this lawsuit suing her employer who fired her for these tweets, ruled that there is no right to question whether a transgender person is a man or a woman. It's basically what he said. And that the Equality Act of 2010 did not protect Ms. Forstater's right to express the philosophical belief that there are only two genders. Also, that Ms. Forstater's gender-critical position is, quote-unquote, incompatible with human dignity and fundamental rights of others. Listen to this. More, the legal rights of a transgender person override her right to express her opinions, saying that she was responsible for, quote-unquote, enormous pain that was caused by, you know, misgendering a person. But forget about causing pain to an actual woman, right? Or people who are offended by saying that a man could just be just like us from taking hormones and getting, you know, a boob job or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Judge Taylor said, if a person has transitioned from male to female and has a gender recognition certificate, a GRC, I didn't even know this existed, oh my God, then that person is legally a woman. It just takes a certificate.
Yeah,
and this government stamps it. It's like, okay, you're a woman now.
and that's another layer to this of why this, like, well, it's been documented, or like,
on this piece
of paper. Yeah, exactly. That I've always hated that it's like, as long as it's official and
that's why you didn't want to get married. And I understand that. Like, it shouldn't be a piece of paper. Like, it should just be.
I mean, I wanted to, and we did. Like,
but without the state,
we went through our own kind of little, you know, commitment. Ritual, essentially, whatever you want to, or ceremony, I guess, is a better word, right? And we went through that, a couple of months after we met, I think?
Yeah,
right?
Pretty soon.
Yeah, and then we married later because of the state paperwork.
Yeah, it's always
right?
State paperwork.
So I was, you know, what was considered.
Now it's official.
That was
now
done anyway, kind
now
of
Now
we're
really together.
But the point is here that it's like, again, this is how they create the truth. It's as in some of these European countries, right, where if you question things that have happened historically, well, that's the law, and it's now been established according to these documents that this is what happened. And if you question that, you break the law, right? Like in Germany or whatever. You question certain things, certain aspects. And let's face it, that's bullshit. Anything should always be up for debate. It should be examined. It should be re-examined, especially when you're in a position where you're actually handing out a lot of sums of money based on this historical event, right? Think about Israel. Think about how many millions are poured out of both America and especially Germany every year. This payouts, this is like an insurance scheme, right? And the insurance company can and will continuously ask for proof of why they should pay out money to you if you have a claim against them, right? But in terms of if someone just shows up randomly, just like, well, we just have our questions about this. No, you go to jail.
Well, don't you love it though? How this judge, a man, is telling this woman she's not worthy of respect. Not worthy of respect in a democratic society because she thinks there's two genders and that men cannot just poof become women. And this judge is like, no, if they get this, a GRC, then they're really a woman. It's literally, they have this, the trans authority now in the UK. It's amazing. But I wonder, would they treat a Muslim the same way? Because really going to collide with Muslims and their values.
And it will. It'll come to a really bad, what's the term? Come to a head, is that what you say?
Yeah.
At some stage.
Well,
but already, let me just link this in real quick there, that you see like there are certain educational curricula and stuff like that in countries like Sweden. I think even in UK that was the case.
And they get to opt out.
They get to the Muslim schools, exclusive Muslim schools, which of course we can't have exclusive Swedish or English schools or something, right? Of course. But right now we can't because we have a hostile establishment that hates its own people and are the worst misleaders throughout history, essentially. Probably never had this much corruption on a global scale. But anyway, they can opt out and it's fine for them. They can discriminate. Well, this is not part of our religion or our culture, mm-hmm. right? Oh, okay, well, we'll back off then, right? But they try to shove these things on them, but that they always favor... like, you know, Muslims or Jews at the end of it, right?
Oh, it's a real religion,
and,
you know.
And this, pagans this always have to back down.
This pre-Christian stuff, I don't know about that. That doesn't seem really real to me.
It's not really religion and, you know, not really a belief system. And so,
even if it's a Christian school, then it can't just be exclusively like white Christians. It has to be, no, you still have to have one of each in your Christian school too. But Muslims, that could just be them. And Jews, that could just be, you know, Israel schools, that could be just Jews.
Yep. So, you know.
Well, mildly defending this woman, Maya, mm-hmm. and her right to say that men can't be women was author J.K. Rowling, who I've had a run-in with before on Twitter. I don't know if you guys remember that. She retweeted an article mentioning me. Anyway, remember, she is staunchly pro-mass immigration and feminist, yet she takes zero refugees into her gated kingdom, mm-hmm. and she's got several little kingdoms. Anyway, she tweeted... Do you have the tweet there?
Yeah, there we go.
Dress however you please. Call yourself whatever you like. Sleep with any consenting adult who will have you.
Edgy.
Live your best life in peace and security, but force women out of their jobs for stating that sex is real. I stand with Maya. Now, this is really just a feminist angle. She's just really defending women here, right? She's really anti-male. Well, I get this for the trans stuff because it's just garbage. But... she's called a TERF, right? The trans, exclusionary, radical, feminist. Everyone was freaking out. Oh my God, she's transphobic and she's become a Death Eater, like the character in her story. They're even saying that. Because you have to love and accept trans or go to jail in the UK. That's just it. The trans authority has spoken.
But,
I mean,
you
soon
know,
they'll have
it
these.
It serves her right because she has helped, all these people have helped to create this outrage mob. And again, it's on their... See, now she's come to a point where she thinks it's unreasonable. Well, guess what, lady? Like, we reached that a long time ago. And it's not unreasonable. We just say, hey, this is out of control. Mass immigration is ruining our countries. Open borders, security. We're just denying the welfare of our own for the sake of others at a point that it's to our detriment. We're literally going to become minorities in our own countries. Oh, no, that's... that's racism. That's white supremacy. That's
and it
bad,
was an article
right?
mentioning me.
But now
me.
This is what I'm thinking. This is okay.
She had retweeted and was like, oh my God, this is like ghastly or whatever it was about women who mentioned me specifically about my views on immigration and women and all this stuff. And she was like, oh my gosh, and like tweeting about it and stuff. Well, how does it feel now as a woman and you're being attacked for this level this level of stuff now?
The 54-year-old writer was quickly... labeled a bigot by disappointed fans.
I'm glad.
Who said that her book, quote, inspired millions of kids to be good to each other, unquote. Okay, and therefore men are women? All right, whatever. What's going on here?
But wait, because later on she had a spokesperson for her say it was a mistake.
Yeah, because I still want to sell my books.
I'm afraid J.K. Rowling had a clumsy and middle-aged moment, and this is not the first time she has favorited by holding her phone incorrectly. Yeah. So they're trying to cover for her and damage control and all this crap. Jeez. You can't defend women in this sense now, you know? It's amazing how far it's
I mean, again, this is why, you know, they're not united on that side, and they're turning on each other all the time.
They can eat each other. I mean, she is just...
Look at some of these comments here. Too. My daughter, who is trans, is a big fan of yours. It breaks my heart to see that you posted something indicating that discrimination against her is perfectly fine behavior for an employee.
Your daughter, who is trans, so your son?
So your son? God. The world's most credible medical orgs affirm trans people.
Oh, please, my gosh. Oh, so it must be true, you know?
Again,
I
mean, think about
and
that.
And actually, no, they don't.
Well, again, it's that piece of paper that you mentioned before, right? That it's like, well, this is official. It's documented now. This is official. Why do you think it was so important to, if you think about it, if a lot of these gay people, they hate Christianity because, like, religion is anti-gay. Like, that's just a fact. Yeah. It's like, it's in the book.
So just don't go to that church.
Don't go to any church. I mean, I know there's some denominations that are open to this or whatever, but the fact is, why was it so important for them to get in a foot through the door to get to the church to get married? Why not?
Yeah.
Like, you already have the state stuff. Why, right?
It's just like this whole Hallmark thing recently. Most gay people don't watch Hallmark Channel, right? It's stories of, like, mostly white couples falling in love.
Let's mention that quickly.
These romance stories, and it's very wholesome. It's very clean, you know. They don't watch this stuff. But now they're ticked off because at first there was some gay commercial and Hallmark took it down after some Christian mothers were complaining about it because it's mostly white Christian conservatives that support the Hallmark Channel, right? Well, after lots of kvetching from some LGBTQ Stasi group, then they're like, okay, we're sorry. They put the commercial back on, the gay commercial. It's like, there isn't even gay people watching the Hallmark Channel, but it's so important to them to have this stupid commercial of these two women kissing on this channel.
Yeah.
They have to have it on the channel. They can't just go watch all their other channels, or there's channels exclusively for gay people. It's just gay stuff. They can't just let these straight people have one channel where it's just nothing gay.
The thing is, if you have one place that's a refuge, you still have this idea that there is another way possible, right? There is a way out, or you can reference this, you can point to this and say, see, well, here's normal, traditional, and again, not that Hallmark is some kind of, great upkeeper of these, of traditional values or whatever, but I'm just saying.
But it had some wholesome movies,
right, there's some little bit more. It's not totally degenerate yet, right? So if that serves an example, it means people can point to that and they can say, like, look, there's still an option, you can do something else. Or maybe people will be attracted to that because they inherently just feel that it's better. So the whole establishment, the whole organization, the whole LGBT agenda, the trans agenda, all stuff, it's predicated on tearing everything down and infecting itself into everything. There can be no spaces that are outside of this environment which they're trying to shove down our throats, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. You don't even watch the channel. They're sitting there blasting, oh my God, the movie. It's always this girl that falls in love with, oh, you know, putting it down. But meanwhile, they have to have this commercial on this channel, on this network that they don't even watch and don't even like. Yeah, it really is an act of hate.
It's hate. It's hatred. It's destruction.
Instead, just don't care. You have it everywhere else. You're represented everywhere else. And now Hallmark is going to be working with, I don't know, some LGBTQP group to find out how they can include them more in the Hallmark Channel. And of course, all these, you know, conservative Christians are shrieking.
Yeah.
Because it's like the one channel that they had left. You know?
And I mean, again, since they don't have, if they fold to this, they will literally go under. Because as you said, no one else watches that stuff. So if you cave on this issue, go woke, get broke. I mean, that's what is going to happen.
Now they're saying, and Hallmark's too white, it's too straight, it's too conservative, and watch it tank.
And again, this is how the left operates, and not only the left, it's just globalism, I guess, is a better term, because it's equally absurd and outrageously disgusting on the right wing of this too, like the conservative, you know, that's what I mean with the right wing, but you know, cucks and all that, cuck conservatives and all that stuff. It's the same formula. It has to be same everywhere. But this is why it can't, there can't be a neighborhood that's all white, right? There can't be a town. There can't be a state. There can't be a country that's all white,
mm-hmm.
right? Because yeah. that shows that this is why they're attacking, you know, Hungary. They're attacking Poland. They're attacking the Baltic countries. And it's like,
because they're working
everywhere.
And they're in a good place right now.
Everywhere needs to be shuffled. Everyone not only needs multiculturalism, everyone will be forced to accept multiculturalism.
Yeah.
And if you don't, the West will put up sanctions against you. They will, CIA will stay behind armies, will come into your country and undermine your political leaders. They will take them out. They will, you know, it's exportation of global homo. That's what,
yeah,
that's what it is.
Exactly.
That's, that, this is globalism. This is how it looks, you know.
Shove down your throat.
Ugh.
Well, let's go on to Seattle, a place that I used to live, a place where I have friends who are all moving because Seattle is going into the toilet.
Moving
it's gone full communist.
Right.
People are moving from,
yeah.
yes. Seattle and King County leaders hired a transgender stripper to perform, yeah, right, at their annual conference
on performance artists.
Solving homelessness, and they used taxpayer money for it because nothing says let's solve poverty like a trans stripper, right? Let's see the video.
All right, this is great. 1.6 million views.
Solving homelessness.
There we go. Oh, Jesus. Look at this.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just, what? What
the
is
hell?
This? Transgender stripper. So you're talking this a boob job on a guy, then.
Oh, boy.
It's just, how is this appropriate at all? This is government.
Oh, God.
Government! Oh.
Yeah, well, you've just been enriched.
Okay, so after this video got around, now I have an article you can pull up. Kira, so we can see a picture of the agency director who hired her. This
nice.
Video got around and everyone is like, what the hell was that? Well, she was fired. fired. She was getting $123,000 a year to solve the problem of homeless people. By the way, King County spends $1 billion on various programs for the homeless around the Seattle
area.
But they're still everywhere, and more are coming because of these programs.
I was just going to say, do you remember that?
It's
that
like Seattle.
What was the documentary called again? Lost.
Oh, yeah,
Seattle's
that one was
lost
sad,
or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean,
druggies
this,
and all kinds.
This
of people.
This is the thing which they don't understand. It's like if you it's the same with immigration. Oh, well, we
come,
accept
we'll take
migrants.
Care of you.
Yeah, they're all flooded to you, right? So we'll take care of homeless people. And then, you know, the whole town is just
huge
homeless.
Drug problem up there. It's very sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to live there and it wasn't that bad when I was there. Now it's really bad. So this video got around. She was fired. The theme
Good.
For this amazing trans stripper dance there, this government funded luncheon, was decolonizing our collective work. That was decolonization right there for you.
Here we go. Here's the
decolonization.
We're going to decolonize your mind right now.
It's
a big ass
the
right
only,
in your face.
Pretty
a good
much.
Old ass
oh
right
my,
in your face.
And then the only note on this agenda was launch with cultural presentation. So this is a cultural presentation for you folks right here. Y'all like it? Awesome,
yeah, I mean,
huh?
Yeah, but this isn't this what they have? Isn't this what it's all about? I mean, this is peak. Yeah, there we go. Look at that. This is peak. Yeah, I mean, it's sure it's Weimar, you know, but it's new heights even. It's newer.
God.
newest.
Yeah. Oh my God! It's just.
This is. I mean, this is. You know, white people are being enriched here. It's. You know, it's culture. It's. You know, white people can't. They can't move like this, and you know. It's all white there too, obviously. In the,
well,
the audience
it is
there, right?
Seattle. It's still really white. Lots of Asians
just,
coming
look at that,
in there,
accepting
but
the money.
Like,
you know, they're trying to push this now that it's like a, yeah, it's performance art, right? You have the way you dress up, and even if you're a demon or whatever you dress up as, it's performance art.
It's not.
How many kids were there? It looked like there were some younger people there too. By the way, I don't know.
I think I heard that there were some people that walked out. They were just like, what? But I'm actually happy that this video got it right here. Decolonization, cultural presentation,
that's
spread eagle.
Europe right there.
Terran. So,
slide on in.
A man trying to be a woman.
Maybe the sausage. Maybe the sausage is still there, huh?
It's disturbing.
Yeah.
Also in Seattle, The Seattle Times informed their staff that they're changing the way they use the term black and white after conversations with senior editors at the Diversity and Inclusion Task Force. Here are some of the changes per the all-staff memo. Now, let me pull it up and read here because it's just ridiculous. Here are the changes. Black. This is the description. Belonging to people who are part of the African diaspora. You capitalize black because it's a reflection of shared cultures and experiences. Do not use a singular or plural noun when ethnicity is relevant to the story, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so examples. No, you can't say this. Many fear that blacks are becoming pushed out of the central area. Wrong. Yes, you could only say many fear that black residents are being pushed out of the central area. It's like total word placing. You can't just say blacks. You have to say black residents. No, you can't say
this. Bad otherwise.
Thousands of blacks moved here for jobs at Boeing. No, you can't say that. You have to say after World War II, thousands of black people moved here for jobs at Boeing.
You can't say Jews because that's offensive. You have to say Jewish people. Right.
And you have to capitalize black, right? Because it's a reflection of their beautiful shared cultural values and
experiences. No, of course.
Now let's read about white. Belonging to people with light-colored skin, especially those of European descent. Unlike black, it is lowercase. As it is, its use is a physical description of people whose backgrounds may spring from many different cultures. Capitalized white is often used by white nationalist, white supremacist movements.
So whatever they do, we have to do the exact opposite.
Right. Yeah, white ethnicity is relevant to the story. Ask the source which personal ethnic identifier they use. And then look at this examples. I love how their example is even celebrating white displacement here. No, I'm surprised at this one, actually. Whites now make up 60% of the state population, down from 72%. They're celebrating this. Yes, white people now make up 68% of the population. I'm surprised that they're actually saying white people here, because usually they just say whites, like it's a derogatory term. You know, those whites.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, the state's white population is now 68%, down from 72%.
That's a great example.
That's what I'm saying. They're like, yes, yes,
they love it. As we're replacing them, it's important we use the right term to define them, so we can isolate them and target them.
They're even
extinction.
Using the demographic displacement as an example.
As an example, right.
It's just outrageous.
But do it with a lowercase W.
Gosh, as we're replacing them, lowercase, because they don't really have a shared culture or any of that stuff.
The Times is still deliberating how they'll unveil this to the readers. It's at the end. Yeah, wow. Yeah, I mean, it's a war on every single front. I mean, primarily language, obviously. That's primarily how they've been fighting. But
black is a people, white is not.
White is not, no.
That's what they're telling you.
That exemplifies everything as well. And it's always those two variables too, right? There's nothing in between, right? Why weren't yellow brought into it then or something?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or red or whatever.
Yeah. It's always black and white.
It's always that. Wow, Seattle Times, huh?
And it's like whites don't have an ethnicity.
It's also they're catering to like the tiniest of minorities that exist there
in Seattle.
Right?
It's not a lot of black people in Seattle, so it's just ridiculous.
Again, it's minority.
There's a lot
rule.
Of communists there.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, a long time ago, I was trying to find the cover. It was before like popular internet time. But when I was modeling, I was living in Seattle. I was like 19, I think. It was on the cover of the Seattle Weekly. I'll have to dig that up. I think I have that in storage somewhere. I was on the cover dressed as She Jesus.
I remember seeing those photos. You won some contest.
Yeah, I won some, and they were like celebrating women and all this crap.
I'm
and
sorry,
I knew, the, I
I'm
knew
sorry,
all these.
Lana, but cringe.
I know.
You just posted cringe.
Hey, it was a long time ago.
It's
long
okay.
time ago
I
now.
I knew
like a lot of photographers and makeup artists and stuff, and they're like, let's do this competition or whatever, and then it won. It's funny because if they only knew.
Apologize to the audience. No.
No, I'll find it so we can have a good laugh. It was actually a good composition in the photo. And get this, Annie Leibovitz was one of the judges.
Oh, ouch! All right.
Yeah, some interesting weird connections going on.
Oh
there.
Wow! Did you actually meet? Her? Did you
no,
say
I,
no,
I did not.
She was sitting from afar and just like
judging. Is this
judging?
Worthy?
Yeah, exactly. let me use my
Seattle used to be really cool. I mean, I have a lot of fond memories of Seattle because it's the grunge era. You know, a lot of good music came from there, alternative scene. I mean, it was a great place in the 90s, but now it's just all going to hell. And it's sad. It's sad. I mean, I grew up in the Northwest, Portland and Seattle, and it's just going the way of communism.
And it's funny because then it's like the few white areas that are exclusively white, they're just going into the loony bin. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole, collectively speaking.
Yeah.
The whole damn.
And then there's
place.
People up there that have a lot of money in the Northwest, and because they live in these white areas, they don't even know what it is that they're asking for when they're like, "Oh, yes, and we need more immigration and stuff."
They've gotten the propaganda, so they're all like, they feel guilt, and you know, we got to do this or that, or Oh, it's awful when I see all these white people everywhere, and you know what I mean. It's like,
yeah, I know.
Sad
living in their mansions.
This self hatred is, how long is it going to go on? You know, it's not going to work. It's not going to. They're not going to pull this through. I mean, I tell you, it's there is going to be a massive reaction against all of this stuff when it comes. I mean, this is what the big social media companies are doing now. They're trying to regulate the conversation, preventing this and so many things from getting out that awakens our people, right? That's what they're doing. They're trying to just put the kibosh on the awakening process.
Yep. Shut it down.
But it's too much and it's too late. I've said that many times, and it's certainly not over. It's going to be a lot of damage before our people wake up. And again, it might not be all of us. I don't think it will be. There's usually been a large minority of people that push through to enforce change and changing the direction. A small dedicated minority, you know. So it doesn't have to be everybody. We don't have to sit on our ass and wait for everybody. But it's not going to work in the long run. Mm-mm. It's just not going to, you know, they're not going to be able to push through. It gets worse and worse. Like this one. Check this one out here.
Women ruining things.
Another crazy Swedish old lady here. But so Swedish town is set to integrate refugees by housing them with pensioners. Like what could possibly go wrong?
Because
there's already such a great relationship between old Swedish people and young immigrants. We've never seen the footage, and you know, I'll make a compilation here one of these days. I was actually gonna, you know, dedicate one show to that specifically, of just showing there's still people on the left that they try to say, well, these no-go zones have been debunked and it's not so bad, and you know,
they don't even live there in Sweden.
They can literally sit on their asses in like the Bronx or something and tell you what is happening or not happening because they've read the New York Times, you know, and this is what they believe, that shit, right? So I'll do a full expose on it one time, and obviously we've covered smaller pieces here and there about this unraveling disaster, but it's, you know, it's good to touch upon it now and then, just to demonstrate. But there's a lot of old people that are robbed, they are beaten, they're even raped,
sexually assaulted
by migrants. Yeah, and the reality is that, you know, if you go back 20, 30 years, 30, you know, that didn't happen.
No. It just unthinkable.
It didn't happen. And you know, your own. Yes, it's sad that these people are in old homes, and yes, we have our own issues for that reason, where our culture has become atomized and like isolated, and a lot of people, you know, wherever they are in the West, usually European, they push the old away and they do, well, you can go to home and you can live there or whatever. And I understand that in some cases it doesn't work, or it's impossible, or how we used to live was easier back then because you had a bigger, you know, you were on a farm, you had small houses, they could stay in a room, you could take care of your elderly people there and stuff like that. It's not the same. You know, people live in apartments in tiny places in the big city these days.
They can't afford it. They have to
work.
Can't afford it, all this stuff.
Right? So I get it, right? But there is something to be said about this, that they just, like, they throw them in an elderly care, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the people that have been suffering the hardest in Sweden are the old people, right? And they've worked all of their lives. They've paid taxes. They have fed into the system, which they believed is going to take care of them as they grow old, right?
Yeah.
And there's a dedicated, I think it's Facebook, not Twitter. There's an old guy that all he does is take pictures of the lunch that he served at one of these elderly care centers. And I mean, it's slop. It's pig. It's like worse than pig's food. You know what I mean? It's like they're getting the worst of the worst, these people, right?
It's
so
amazing.
Now there's an experiment. Let me read the story here. The first residents have moved into a new housing scheme that mixes seniors young people and foreigners who come to Sweden as unaccompanied minors. And we know what that means. It means that these are bearded, like 35-year-olds seeking asylum. They are required to socialize with each other.
So
they
Sweden.
Are required.
Yeah, they're going to have this a counselor help do it, too. It's just, it's they're like literally enforcing this stuff. Like, we are going to force it to work.
This is part of the Swedish culture that I hate. It's this, yeah. Like, see,
let's sit in the boomer little, cat lady doing
let's
it.
Let's sit
too,
in this
right?
little circle and we should get to know each other. And I mean, I know it, it exists, you know, in other countries too, but it's.
But they
I
have
know.
These, like, government programs that do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the official. Yeah, so here, so Selbu, they call it. So there's all these, you know, because again, it's an, you know, a largely atheistic, secular society. So you know, people don't generally get married as much, right? So they've come up with all these new legal terms in Sweden, like. Sambu, which means like sam means tillsammans, like together, and bu means to live, right? So sambu is like living together, right? So sambu is actually like a legal term that you can file with the government so that you can register yourself and get the same tax perk as if you were married. But you're actually not legally married, right? So this new term,
like common law wife or common law husband.
Yeah, sambu. There's many of them. But here's a new one. They call it selbu. The sel is for... short for sällskap, which means company. I think they go through it here in the article. Yeah, the Selbo project in the Swedish city of Helsingborg. And there's been a lot of issues, Helsingborg. Southern Sweden is essentially gone. I mean, Malmö, it's not the third largest city in Sweden only. It's the third city of Sweden.
Yeah.
Helsingborg aims to combat loneliness among the elderly at the same time as helping former child refugees integrate by housing them side by side in the same building. There are 31 flats for retired people and 20 for 18 to 25-year-olds, 10 of which are reserved for people who arrived in Sweden as unaccompanied minor or child asylum seekers. And again, that's most of that is it's fraud, right? They're not actually...
Of course not.
Children. The project's name combines the word sällskap, meaning company, or togetherness, with bo, meaning to live. And under their contract, residents commit to socialize with each other for at least 2 hours a week.
Oh, pain.
Help along with live.
Oh, see, my gosh. I'd love to just go film that and just see this, how and you know, again,
this is the government approach, right? It's again, here's a document. Here's just the facts, right? It's been documented. It's legally correct to say there are no differences between us. Everyone is equal, and therefore it's only an issue with the paper, the bureaucracy around the integration project. That's the only thing. No, I'm serious. That the only thing that's a little bit off here is how we got to do more. Like we got these young new foreigners, we have to bring them into to the society, and just as long as we can do that, it's always the Swedes' fault, right? It's always no matter how much they turn to violence or literally rape other people or still criminality, gang warfare.
You didn't try hard enough.
We didn't do enough somehow.
But hold up.
And you know, quick note. I'm not saying that it's easy for them to come to society, which is totally foreign.
It's dark as hell
half of the year. Some of these people literally go nuts. Because they have no anchoring or nothing to the environment, to the culture,
to the
weather.
They need to be in a country more like theirs.
Of course. So look, I get that they're like, they snap and some of these people go nuts. But this is the very reason why they shouldn't be there. And they shouldn't be in a society which is very conformist and very weird to get into. Right?
I don't know, just hearing this kind of makes me think of how far Sweden might go. They might make, like, as Swedes are resisting this, make mandatory time. You have to, like, spend two hours a week with these people and you have to check in and there's going to be a whole department that's for Henrik Palmgren, they're calling. Did you spend 2 hours with your migrant buddy this week?
That's exactly.
You need to check in.
I see you haven't checked in here today with Ahmed Mulat.
Yeah.
Have you? What's going on?
Yeah. No, they would take it that far.
You do know that your social score will continue to sink, right, if you refuse to meet.
Exactly. I mean, there's no end to this.
We propose board games or maybe go outside and have a walk.
that's exactly how the totalitarianism is there.
Exactly. And it's like it's cotton gloves, but then underneath there's like a brutality also.
Yeah, yep.
It's not only the first in Sweden. It's not only the first in Sweden, says Dragana Kurovic. Yeah. Very Swedish name. An integration specialist at Helsingborg Hem, the city's municipality housing company. Our constellation is unique anywhere in the world. See, it always says, we're number one. We're doing it better than everyone else. If there's a country in the world that's you know, hostile to its own population. It's us, right? We do it better than anyone else. That's a mentality. That's a Titanic nationalism. We'll run into that iceberg before anyone else, and we'll do it harder than anyone else. Built as a home for seniors in the 1960s, the block became Sweden's largest housing facility for unaccompanied child asylum seekers in the aftermath of the 2015 European refugee crisis. They call it a European refugee crisis because they all went to Europe. Anyway, they got, next line. Kurvich believes old people can feel cut off even if they frequently meet other pensioners. Quote, they easily feel excluded from their community because most of the information they have comes either from people of their own age or from the media, she says. So I think that loneliness is not only about sitting at home alone. Immigrants to Sweden frequently end up living in highly segregated areas where more than 80% of people are first or second generation immigrants. Now, it needs to be pointed out, that's because most people choose to be placed in these areas.
Yeah.
They literally ask, where's my people at, right? When they get in and say, oh, they're in this area. Okay, that's where I want to go, right? So that's why, you know, you get these no-go zones because they literally, they control these areas now. You have someone like Joakim Lamotte who goes to like Trollhättan, he goes to Rosengård in Malmö, all these places. And people are, you know, making fun of this shit. But like he goes there and immediately there are gangs that show up that want to like kill him.
Yeah, immediately.
This is ours.
In Sweden.
They it's throw amazing. Rocks at the police. They
the
sabotage.
Police just stand there. The police don't do anything about it.
I've seen, I'll include this. I'll show you something. But it seems, you know, we have a term as well. It's a saft ubullar, which means lemonade and cinnamon rolls, I guess you could say,
yeah,
right? That's the approach that they have taken to this. They think, they literally still think that if we just are more nice to them, then they will back down.
No,
but then you realize
how it works.
Many of these people, not all, but like
they don't
respond,
like
90%.
They come for you more
least,
when you do that.
They actually, it is there's competition. There's immediate hatred of those people that have been kind enough to open their doors. I mean, it's like rabid hatred against Swedish people from many of these migrants that come. And it's like, I don't know, it's very bizarre. I'm not going to show it, but I shared one thing on Twitter. I'm not going to show it because it's
don't want to put you in a bad mood right now.
It's horrible seeing this, right? But these kinds of clips are posted all the time. And I'll do a collection of this soon enough, right? But it's this like humiliation, like active humiliation of Swedish young boys specifically, but also girls. There's one the other day, a Swedish young girl, she was like 13, I think, that was attacked and beaten up by a immigrant gang of girls. They were from age, I don't know, 12 up to like 16 or 17, I believe, right? So this video here, it showed an immigrant gang assaulting and then one of them urinating in the mouth of a Swedish kid, right?
Oh my God.
And you can hear this like screams in the background. The girl excited when they peed on him and stuff. And it's like they film this and they laugh at these kids, right? These are kids that grew up there. They're scared. They don't know how to defend themselves.
They've been taught about nonviolence, non-confrontational.
Soy all day long. You got to be nice and all this shit, right? And here's like a hostile, like out of this world to this person, aggressive attitude of like humiliation. There's been many others, like where they film, they put guns in their mouths, they ask them to lick their shoes. They actively, these are some of these immigrant gangs that go out of their way to entrap and capture. We saw that kid in Holland.
Yeah, that was awful.
Where there was a setup through a dating app.
Yeah.
They posted a picture of a girl. He thought he was going on a date. It was a setup by an immigrant gang, and they actively humiliated him.
They filmed
right?
it. They stripped him naked, put a gun to him, made him scream. They filmed it, and they released it.
And you see, we are the problem when we point this out. If we would just shut up about this, it would go away. Like, no, this something is horribly wrong here.
Yeah.
Something is there is a wickedness among many of these people, which is just it's unknown to us. We don't. And again, the attitude of the authorities, the attitude of the police, has historically been, we just need to be nicer. We just need to do more for them. We just need to give more, right?
It's not a winning strategy.
It's not a winning strategy.
It only makes it worse. They don't respond to that clearly. They just go in for more.
But I did see some clips recently where, it's interesting because, you know, again, Sweden is a case study, but it's unique, I think, in many regards. But I think when that, as we talked about again, I guess in the beginning of the show, like when it finally snaps, right? When it finally like, boom, that thing, it breaks. The levee breaks, and it just things are changing. You know what I mean? And I saw some stuff for some of the police recently where I just like, their saftebullar taktik, their lemonade and cinnamon buns approach to like trying to solve these issues is no more. And it was very interesting. I mean, it's. Order will be restored.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of
breaking point.
How painful and how violent will that be? And our argument has always been, let's try to solve this now through like conscious political strategy and move forward to solve the situation.
Doesn't because this seem
is
like that's
this is not going
happen.
Into a good direction, right? Because we don't want violence. We think this is this is dumb. This is stupid. At the root of it, this is just a stupid approach because everyone can see where this is going. Everyone who connects the dot can see that this is going to derail like massively at some stage. It might occur in different times in different countries or whatever, but it is going to derail. And so when that happens, it's just a matter of how fierce that reaction will be, right? That's what we're looking at. So anyway, I see, you know, you show some of this footage, very triggering and stuff like that, but sometimes it's, and I saw in the comments, a lot of people are like, some are like, why are you posting this? And it's, you know, they get upset about the, you know, the messenger, the guy who posts it. But it's like, there are people out there that need to see this
stuff. They need to see it. Imagine if it was your child. I mean, I would rage. I don't know how any parent couldn't rage if they saw like their kid being treated like this.
Being urinated on and laughed at in their face. Intentionally humiliated in this way, right? And again, this is not even touching the rapes, the gang rapes, and again, of these elderly people. I mean, I guess we could just momentarily go back to that to close that off. But, you know, again, this is going to go really, really bad, right? I mean, many of these, in these refugees camps and stuff, they attack each other, they rape each other. There's like all kinds of nastiness, right? They bring
a
lot of these,
to each other too.
They bring a lot of these horrific conditions that they have fled from with them, you know, because it's tied many regards to the people. It's not the soil that they live on that just generates all these things, right? It doesn't matter. And that's why many of the countries that are globalist enemies have created destabilization in, they have done so on the ground, and I'll be short about this, but they've done so on the grounds that it's some evil dictator in this country who's far too repressive or some shit like that, right? But That's the thing that worked
that holds
for them.
Together.
That's
like,
the thing. I mean,
like
this Gaddafi, this Saddam.
Yeah,
like,
holds
like this,
them together. That's the only thing they respond to is a man who uses force.
Yeah, and I mean, sure, I know that like, I know that Saddam is a puppet and stuff like countries. That. But in many regards, there's a kind of a natural way that they have figured out how to like, you know, organize their society, and then the
and
West
how to
comes
make their
in.
People fearful, so they stay in line.
Well,
that's just
why do some of these countries literally like you lose a hand if you shoplift? If you do something, they'll cut your hand off.
Yeah, exactly.
And they come to Sweden, and you'll get a comfy hotel stay if you do commit a crime.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? These people are losers. There's morons. They're rewarding us for bad behavior essentially. There's no guidance. There's
so
no rules.
Naive. They're so naive about who these people are. Yeah. You know, I'm so afraid to judgments.
And it's not because they are like inherently evil or whatever, but they are different. They have their own way of solving things. They have their own methods. They have their own structure to their society, right? They have all these things, and leave it up to them. And that's why it's better that most of these people we have tourism. People can visit, and we can visit other countries and all that stuff. But to force literally airdrop like millions of people from one area into another area and then forcefully integrating them or shoving them together.
It doesn't work.
It just doesn't work, right?
No.
And we're going to learn that lesson one way or another. People will know that the stuff that we talked about, we were right.
Yep.
They will know.
Yep. We warned them.
A couple of super chats here, guys. Glenn the Chinaman, $50.
Hey.
Well, thank you, Glenn. That's very
kind
of you. Wishing you all Merry Yule, Christmas, and Huwait New Year.
Thanks.
Well, thank you, Glenn.
Do you celebrate Christmas, Glenn?
Maybe he does.
I don't know. I'm not sure if you're Buddhist or what do you do? Christian?
Atheist. Did he? He lived in Australia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe there's some Christmas influence there. Maybe?
Yeah, well, yeah. If he's living
there.
We
got to do that roundtable of our POC friends, by the way.
POC allies.
Yeah, we should do that. Thank you, Glenn. We really appreciate that. Merry Christmas to you and your loved ones as well. Really appreciate it. Der Shurusker, I should say, says, The last decade was tough, and the next one will be even more. But we will fight and go on until we reach victory for our people. Thank you for your work and dedication to the cause. Absolutely. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. All right, let's see if there's any other super chats. Check DLive here, guys. I'm going to wrap up in a little bit here. Let me back up in the DLive. That one I think we did last. Yeah, I think we did that one last. The number of people have donated lemons and ice creams and all kinds of stuff. Thank you to all of you guys. Thank you to everyone who's subbing over on DLive as well. By the way, General Pinochet, a Ninja Genie. Thank you. No message. Zip Zrap, I guess, 216. Donated a diamond. Thank you. It says, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. Another diamond from Carbon One. Says, much love. The same. Thank you. Carbon One, another diamond. J Fox, diamond. No message. And I think that's it then, Lana.
This last story is funny, though. Just pull it up real quick.
Oh, which one was that? Oh, the next web. Oh, I forgot. We have one more. Okay.
Yeah, sorry, it's just such a great.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I highlighted a couple of things from the story. Do you want to take those?
Sure.
Yeah. So, okay. This is the cherry on the cake of what we've just been talking about here, right? Yeah. But don't just hire the quote best people. Focus on diversity. Just hire the best person approach is out. That's right. Boris Veljudzin von Zanten here from, I guess, Holland is going to tell us the fact that diversity is a great approach. Now, there's just a number of garbage like approaches in the beginning of the article. But he goes on to say that essentially Apple had a health product team that they weren't diverse, and therefore they lost out on a specific market share. And he wasn't, listen to this now, what Apple did in that moment was to create an opportunity for another company to see their mistake and create a period tracking app.
Oh, my God.
Women make up approximately half of the world's population. That's around 3.9 billion people. Do you really want to potentially give up 3.9 billion potential customers to your competition?
I use a period tracking app.
So it's essentially because Apple didn't include that. It was because they didn't have women that said, you got to include a period app.
Yeah,
here.
But there's all these other things that they do. This is just one tiny example. Yay.
He says, I use biological sex and gender here as examples, but this extends to race, ethnicity, religion, sexuality, and more.
It does.
A person that adds diversity to our team makes the company better. So that's the best person to hire. More diversity in a company. I love this argument. I've seen this. I've seen them talk about this, and they reference studies on this. But when you actually go into the weeds, it's like, wait a minute. What are you saying here? Listen to this. More diversity in a company will make you solve problems better and build better products.
No, it's actually the opposite.
It will prevent
studies
you from,
have shown the opposites.
Exactly. It will prevent you from making mistakes. It's funny. No. It's like, wait a minute. It will add fresh and much needed opinions and perspectives.
No, it's just the same one all the time.
It will make you more efficient and successful.
It's the opposite.
The best person. So, in other words, hiring the best person for the job is not the approach.
Yeah. If they have the right skills and they're good at something, no. Because at the end of the day, what's more important is we need more women, less men, less straight people, less conservatives, and definitely less white people.
Just always less white people. And they will be much better. The best person for the job is undeniably, he goes on to concede here at the end, then the best person for the job is undeniably the person who has the right skills, but also one that adds qualities and perspectives to your company that weren't previously represented.
Yeah, it's all...
You're not doing yourself a favor if you think that skills are the only thing that matters. A non-diverse hire is a missed opportunity. It's funny. Well, it's like,
can you see how this would go really bad in multiple industries and fields that require like precision and intellect and just really knowing your stuff, like some fields where you have to have the best or people will die and suffer if you don't have the right people doing the job. We need more women.
We've kind of experienced some of this like hands-on as well, right? But, you know, it's like when they forced women into STEM, right? And it's like, well, why? Well, because
most
it women needs to be equal
women
everywhere.
Don't want that.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, this is a great tweet. Someone asked like, what, you know, some feminist, she's a proponent of like more women in STEM fields or whatever, and this one guy is pursuing her and like saying like, I mean, in the arguments like pursuing her, what did you study or what did you go learn? And then it was like, oh, well, social science or, you know, something like that. I was like, well, why didn't you study STEM then?
It's like, I don't know, because I'm not interested in it.
Exactly, this is it. But somehow there needs to be all these other people somewhere just for the sake of having it always in every walk of life, in every business, in every company, there needs to be equal all the time, right? An equal amount of different people everywhere.
And I also did a video about this where I cited several different studies about how diversity actually is harmful in the workplace and causes all these problems where people are fighting and they don't trust each other and they're not syncing up and they're not working well together. It's not a symbiotic relationship at all. But this guy is admitting here, though, just even by the title, that diversity sacrifices quality. I mean, he's admitting it right there. Yeah. And we've already seen the bar lowered in multiple ways for so-called, you know, minorities and women and POC and trans and all that to rectify our racist supremacist past, you know. But meanwhile, we're supposed to walk this real tightrope to please everyone, and we're scrutinized and squeezed like no other. You know, I mean, I know some really smart kids who were highly qualified to get into schools, and they were actually penalized for it, right? Because they weren't diverse enough.
Yeah, now, you know, cities have diversity scores. And if you don't upfill these quotas, you're not going to get, like, as much funding or, you know what I mean? It's like, it's these ideas, you know, again, I've mentioned this many times, but, like, we're off on this tangent right now of, like, due to the success of our previous generations and ultimately our ancestors, We're in a position where we can do all these weird luxury things of, like, having an idea that, like, well, the best person is obviously not the best person for the job. We need someone who looks, who just so we can please our eye or whatever. Yeah. Like, what is this? Right?
And it's funny because all those people that they say
will collapse. It's not going to work in the long run.
And all those people that they say are so diverse. Oh, we need different opinions. You find out that they actually all really think the same. They might look different on the outside, but they're
right.
It's all the same.
They're same on the inside. Libtard
globo homo programming.
But isn't that what they're saying though? Say that there is only difference on the outside. We're all the same on the inside.
Yeah. Well, they're always thinking that race is just skin color because that's all they see. All they see is the outside stuff.
Which video was there's a segment in the video where those studies are?
It
was not diversity as a weapon. It was
no. It was the other one about how forced diversity is not a strength. I think
wasn't
it
the one with Tucker?
Yeah, because there was some lefty outlet that put together my face with his and some other people. Oh my God, they're saying the same thing, right?
That's right. Let me just see if we can find. We could play that portion here. Here it is. Let me play this portion. We can just see that quickly run through.
There's quite a few of them in there.
I mean, yeah, and I have. Let's play that because it's a good portion. We can kind of start wrapping up with that portion. All right, here we go. Let's listen to this.
What matters is if it's true or not. And for every cultural Marxist study contorting to prove how enriching diversity is, there are way more that say otherwise, and many by leftists themselves, not the results they were hoping for. Here's some studies, thanks to Scott Bravo Fan on Twitter for your nice compilation. Increasing social pluralism, diversity, is correlated with increased chance of collective violence. This is from the Journal of Peace Research. In Germany, residential diversity reduces natives' trust in neighbors, while it also reduces immigrants' trust, but through a different pathway. This is from Berlin Social Science Research Center. In Australia, ethnic diversity lowers social cohesion and increases hunkering, providing support for Putnam's thesis finding the same results in the U.S. Journal of Urban Affairs. Using data from U.S. states, study finds a negative relationship between ethnic polarization and trust. This is from the Contemporary Economic Policy. Diversity hinders between-group cooperation at both the one-on-one and group levels. This is from the American Sociological Association. Ethnic homogeneity and Protestant traditions positively impact individual and societal levels of social trust. This is from the Oxford Academic. Our analysis supports the hypothesis that violence between groups can be inhibited by both physical and political boundaries. This is from the Geography of Ethnic Violence by Springer. In Switzerland, social peace between diverse factions isn't maintained by integrated coexistence, but rather by strong topographic and political borders that separate groups and allow them autonomy. This is from the Public Library of Science. The negative effect of community diversity on social cohesion is likely causal. Oxford Academic. Social trust is negatively affected by ethnic diversity. This is from a case study in Denmark from 1979 to the present by the Scandinavian Political Studies. An increase in immigration is related to a decrease in social trust. Oxford Academic. More diverse areas reported lower levels of trust in their neighbors. Diversity hurts civic life. This is from Harvard political scientist Robert Putnam, who's really disappointed by the study, by the way. Blast from the past, 2007 New York slimes, the downside of diversity. The greater the diversity in a community, the fewer people vote, and the less they volunteer, the less they give to charity and work on community projects. Virtually all measures of civil health are lower in more diverse settings. Yeah. And what is the lefty response? No, you have to think long term. Never mind division now. Long run. It will all work.
Yeah. Anyway, it goes on from there, right? Yeah. Why the long face?
Yeah, and there were some in there too that were specifically in the workplace. There was some some studies that were done as like actually you need symbiotic.
No, exactly.
You have to think similar
it's
to be synced
up. It's two different asymmetrical.
They're fighting. They don't get each other. And now it's all these cultural nuances. And you didn't respect me. And you looked at me weird. And oh my gosh. And my culture, you can't do that. And it's all these. You're like freaking out about all these things all the time. You can't just focus on your work.
And, and then like, you know, everything with Putnam. You know, again, we should replay. We played in one of the earlier Weekend Warrior ones. But I'm going to. Let's rewatch that again. We should do it in another Flashback Friday. Or maybe Weekend Warrior. And just how he, you remember how he argued? Like, well, it's bad now, but then later on it will be great.
Yeah, it's always this long term, and it's going
to
be magic.
And then you point to like, oh, generation two and three, they actually commit more crime, they feel more deracinated, they're more out of place, they're more prone to rape or crime, or you know, they don't fit into the society, and it just gets worse and worse and worse, while they're promising us, like, just have faith, have belief, right? And this is why it's a religion, because it entails you believing and having faith in the system of progress.
It's so bad now that there's a lot of non-European immigrants in the West who are also siding with
us. They're
also talking about like third world immigration. Like get on the board here, get on the train.
That's right. That's right. All right. Should we start wrapping up here?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Let me see. Is there a track here? Oh, no, that's the audio. There we go.
Oh, you're trying to put on the Christmas music.
I'm going to have a track here and they're going to play this out. All right.
Now, this one wasn't written by a Jew, right? It's like a lot of Christmas songs are written by Jews.
This is I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas.
Yeah, that one was not.
That one was not. Okay,
that
that's
one
why,
definitely
that's
was
why
not.
It's a good one. I don't think. Yeah, General Pinochet sent another diamond on DLive. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. I'm going to open up the chest over there, too. So get ready. Distribute the shekels on DLive. All right. Okay. So what we're looking at, folks, here is tomorrow less than 24 hours, we will do our fourth annual Yule live stream, and we'll be starting around 4:45 or so Eastern time. That's 10:45 Central European time, 9:45 UK time. So check it out. Tons of guests lined up, as you can see there. James Edwards, Mark Collett, Tyler Blonde in the Belly of the Beast, Charles Bousman, Jared Taylor, Robin Riley, Philosophicat, Jason Kuhn, Adam Green, Ethan Ralph, Gator, Matt Flavelle, Stephen McNallan, and most recently we had Orwell and Good and his co-host Question to jump in as well. So
cool.
It'll be a good stream.
Be good. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, definitely don't miss it, guys, because you know, this always it's always fun to do these streams. So we'll have like spend about 10 minutes with each person, so it's a little bit rough, but you know, in terms of time. But it's always great to get a kind of a year wrap up, I guess, with some people, right?
Yep, that's right.
Get a little.
Talk about the year, how it went, Christmas, next year. Yeah.
Year in review, in other words. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you to all our members out there for watching this on redicemembers.com. Do get a membership if you want to support our work. It does help tremendously so we can ensure to continue doing this work while they are trying to ban and censor us on every single social media platform. And of course, if you can't afford to donate or have a membership or something like that, you can help in many other ways. One of them being, of course, sharing videos that you like, sharing clips, sharing website links, get it out in comment fields, on forums, spread it to friends or whoever you think is receptive to the message, because we do need you guys' help to get the word out about what we do here as well. Okay.
Hey, thank guys. You. Have
we'll,
a good night.
We'll be back soon. Tomorrow, in fact. We'll see you later.
See ya. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Now, if you're new here, just want to alert you to Weekend Warrior, our exclusive show that we do at redicemembers.com each weekend. News roundup show. We talk about some of the current events, the most important stories. We have a good laugh as well. Laugh at some of the cultural Marxist absurdities in this postmodern age. Check it out if you haven't already. An exclusive show. People love it. They tune in each weekend. They don't miss a single show. It's well produced. There really isn't anything like it on the dissident right or the nationalist scene or the anti-globalist movement, whatever you want to call it. So thank you so much for watching. But again, if you want more, redicemembers.com, Weekend Warrior. Check it out.